hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in to WGNS Action Line. Anthony Tuggle is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We've already touched on the weather, and we're going to be trying to bring in springtime now. Anthony's going to talk about spring planting. If we talk about it enough, do you think it'll be here?
We can always hope, Barbara. It's right around the corner, any day.
It'll just pop up on us one day when we're least expecting it. Well, you've got some interesting things coming up at the Ag Center.
Yeah, Bart, you know, we do a lot of our training and education programs now. One of our big series is coming up is our Master Gardener series. We're going through that multi-week training to get them certified of Master Gardeners, and also then get them engaged in the community to do some community service work around horticulture. We also getting started with our Master Beef program. I don't know if a lot of people know about our Master Beef program, but that program is a multi-series program as well that deals with our forages and livestock to get our producers educated on some of the best practices where they're growing forages, how to manage those, how to do different things with the different types of breeds and things of that nature, and also learn how to be more profitable in that business. So, and then they also, once they're done with that, they also qualify for some Tennessee Ag Enhancement Funds to help improve their program. So some of those are our educational programs that are starting off. And then we also have a lot of horticulture calls and garden educational programs as well. One big thing we're just starting to plan for, if I think it's April the 12th, is our Adventures in Ag. That's open to the community. And we have all of our ag agencies, Farm Bureau, USDA, Extension, Soil Conservation. So all of our ag agencies get together once a year and plan a program really to educate our community on agriculture and to learn all the different things about agriculture. This year, I know we're going to be focusing on is talking to our youth about careers, all the different careers that a person can get involved in agriculture. We might not think about ag. We have ag people. I'm going into law. I'm going into accounting. We have economists. So we have all those different ag jobs that are related to people that not even think of engineering, ag engineering. So we're going to go through a nice presentation, do a program on a lot of the ag industry and ag jobs. So we hope people come out and mark their calendar for that on April the 12th. But in that, we are talking to a lot of people. We're talking about spring coming up. We are typically want to prune our fruit trees. So we're doing some of that demonstration coming up. I think I'm going to have the date right in mind. It'll be coming out in our newsletter or on our calendar about getting people prepared to prune those fruit trees, because usually fruit tree pruning typically takes place in March time frame, late February, early March time frame.
So that's not too far away.
That's not. And we have a lot of people, and we were actually planning, believe it or not, getting ready, working with our vendors to open up our farmers market in the second Friday in May. So we have a lot of moving pieces.
I'm ready for that.
I am too. We have a lot of moving pieces that we're trying to get people prepared for and get ready to get people engaged with.
One of the things that always seems to pop up is the chick chain. Whenever I think of the farmers market or the ag center or anything, for some reason I think chick chain. Wow, a lot of youngsters get involved in that.
That is a really good program, Bart. We our 4-H's or our youth can get 25 chicks. We do ask, require a deposit to make sure they have to bring them back. What happened with that is they get 25 chicks, or I think we do 13 or 14 chicks, depending on the number they get, and then they raise those chicks. It's usually by August time frame, and they'll bring some of them back, or some people bring all of them back. But that is a good way to get youth involved in being responsible, and also good way for the family to get involved where they can actually start getting some fresh egg or selling fresh egg. But then they also sell some of those chicks. That pop program, they've been very, very popular. And then not only that, the general public can get involved, and they want to don't want to raise them, and they just want to go in and purchase the chick. So they auction off typically in the August time frame. So that program is actually kicking off now as well. Typically for all of our youth in the 4th through 12th grade can participate in that program. So it is an excellent way to teach kids responsibility.
So they buy the chickens, and then they raise them. And then by the time fall gets here, they sell them.
They sell them, and they actually sell them to anyone who wants to bid on them. And usually that is a really fun, active activity.
Oh, they're learning so much about responsibility, about how to make a business work.
So they really, then part of that is they write a one-page essay and things of that way. And they also be prepared to do record keeping, record books, and things of that nature. So they can, and they don't have to bring all of them back. They really bring five back. But typically, some of them don't want to keep them, but the majority of them keep all of their birds. And they actually, some of them try to buy them back as well.
And so they buy those pretty soon. When do they buy those?
They get those. They don't really pay full price. They just pay a deposit, put on the number they want. I believe that's coming up. I don't know the exact date for that. I believe probably around, they probably get the chicks. You probably can sign, I know you can sign up now. The chicks typically come in first of March, and you want to sell them probably.
So they come to the Ag Center.
They come to the Ag Center, and then we actually would distribute them from there.
We've got a question here from a listener who's saying that they are wanting to do some planting. They said that they're not alone, they don't think, because they've got a lot of friends who are in the same boat they are. They bought a new home. They just moved to Murfreesboro. And that new home is on a new lot, which has nothing. I can remember those days. Nothing is right. No trees, no bushes, no nothing. What should they do first? Here we have, 16th of January. Is there anything they can do now?
I wouldn't recommend doing anything right now, but I would try to develop a plan. Uh-huh. Think about if you want cool season grasses, which we can plant late February. The best time to plant it to really get established. Preferred time would be the fall, but we can do a spring planting. But if you want to do warm season grasses, we have a lot of people moving in from Florida or in the South that used to Bermuda and Georgia, or even West Tennessee, that they like the warm season grass like Bermuda and Georgia. So then that would be a time you want to come in and plant that late April time frame. But then we're going to start thinking about putting out shrubs and things of that nature. I'll probably wait till after the freeze time. probably mid to late February, early March time. So we can talk about different plant selection, how much shade you have already. It's not like it may not have any, but then those houses have what I like to call microclimates. The house do shade the plants and things of that nature. You can kind of get a gauge on how the sun's rise and set around your house, what's shaded, what's sunny, and things of that nature. So we can talk to you about a landscape plan. So we can kind of get that match. So that probably won't be a visit. Come by the office, and we can kind of talk to them in more detail on each individual plan on getting that landscape set up for them.
Now, I had not even thought about the landscape, but then that's why you're the head of the Ag Center, and I'm on the radio. But I forgot you do have that multiple plot of grass out front where you can actually see what the different turfs look like.
Yeah, we do. I keep forgetting about that as well. But we do have a lot of different tall fescue and Bermuda, Georgia, St. Augustine, different types, and some mixtures of grasses out. You can come look at them and see exactly what they're going to look like this time of year. But also you want to kind of think about what do you prefer? What do you use to? If you have no idea, we can kind of work with you on that. I know one of the questions everybody always has, we want a low-maintenance yard.
I like low maintenance.
Low maintenance is good, but then typically for most homeowners, low maintenance is not going to get them that beautiful green lush turf lawn that
That's
they
right.
want.
It won't look like the golf course.
You won't get that golf course manicure look on low maintenance. So you actually going to have to put in some effort to do that. So I tell people, most people probably prefer medium maintenance. That would kind of get them through in medium, and that would kind of be a really good landscape. It looks really well. But most landscape will take some, our great landscape will take more work. So more effort you want to put in, the better it will look and better it will perform.
Now, is there a group that they can sort of join into over at the Ag Center? Because once you get started on this, especially if you're new to the area and you're trying to develop your land and everything, you probably want to, after you put the grass in, you want to get some gardens started. You may think, I want to get some hummingbirds. You've heard about the hummingbird stories. Well, there are things you need to do to attract those hummingbirds.
Well, I wouldn't say there's a group, unless they get involved with the Master Gardener group, and they do. They'll have you doing everything. You have to pace yourself. They'll have you having garden. They'll have you fruit trees. They'll have you planting these different types of raised bed garden, different type of, they'll have you doing everything. But I would say just kind of getting an idea for what you want to get started with. If you interested, I mean, a lot of people, we have people that come visit with our master gardeners and talk with them all the time about different types of things. We have a lot of demonstrations on site for a new person. If you want to get started with your turf, we want to start maybe with a raised bed. We have a variety of raised bed on site, herb garden, perennial gardens, and things of that nature, wildflower, so vineyard. So we have a variety of demonstrations.
You have those right there at your place.
We do. And then we also, for people who maybe have a large acre, they want to grow some forages, we have some forage demonstration. We talk about different varieties of forages and how to manage those, fence demonstration. So we have a variety of demonstration for whether it's a homeowner or a farmer, or kind of people want to say homesteading type activity. So we are really working on doing a lot of that.
Now, a few minutes ago, you had mentioned about planting some fruit trees, but wait just a little bit before you do it. Are there some fruit trees that do better in this area than others? I mean, everybody has their own favorite fruit that they'd like to have, but all those fruits don't do well in Middle Tennessee.
Well, probably, I mean, they all could do well. It's just depending on what variety you get and where you get them from. But I will say fruit trees management, depending on what species, like I'm going to say a peach. Peach will require probably the most maintenance than versus an apple or pear tree.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it just so many insects are attracted to some of those peach trees, and also it depends on if we get a late freeze or frost, because they have a tendency, some of them flower early or bud out, and if you have a late freeze or something or frost, you'll kill off your buds and things of that nature. So that's why varieties are so important, and then maintenance part. Then if someone tell me they don't want to go plant fruit trees and don't want to have any insecticides or fungicides on them, I'm probably going to tell them probably that's not going to be your best option. And I know peach is not going to be their best option. Because fruit trees really do require some type of, to be really successful, to have a good successful crop, going to type some type of insecticide, fungicide, and things of that nature.
Now, we think of Georgia as, because of the name, peaches. I mean, but can you do as good of a peach, as delicious of a peach, in Middle Tennessee as you could in Georgia? If you moved here from Georgia and you thought, I want to grow some peaches. My granny used to make the best peach pie, and I want to do that too. Are you going in the wrong direction? Will it just not happen, or will it happen?
With proper management, yes, but you probably won't get peaches every year just based on our weather. We just won't get them.
Where are we, cooler? Too cool?
Well, we did our frost and freeze come in so later time. We may get one, who knows, late March.
Mm-hmm.
Trees come in, come out flower and bud, and then it'll kill all the buds on them. So you may not get a good, successful crop every year with peaches.
So what does grow well here? I mean, there are things that do grow well.
Oh, well, I mean, I wouldn't say, I mean, also you say that, and I say that, but then again, you may have a perfect location that slope perfectly where it doesn't can avoid frost and some of the freezes and things of that nature. But if you want to be, you can do maintenance. You can have irrigation on some of them.
Yeah. I mean, you're really into serious stuff.
Yeah, then. If it freezes, you can kind of have water running on the whole time and keep them when it freezes. But that is a technique to do that, to make sure you have to have the water on the right time. And even if they have ice on them, they freeze.
You're not a beginning gardener.
No, you can, but you can protect those buds that way. So there is a lot of science and a lot of... That
might be the case where if you join the Master Gardeners, that would be information that you need. I mean, because it sounds like that's serious gardening.
Yeah, most homeowners won't do that because you have to run water. You have to run water.
I've never heard of that.
Consistently all night and all through that freezing time. So that's typically mostly done in some of our commercial operations that can do that.
And also if you have well water. If you're on city water, that sounds expensive.
Expensive, and then you got to have the right equipment. To think about this freezing, make sure the water is not frozen. Make sure it don't freeze while you're trying to irrigate it. So are
there some people who are doing that right now? I mean, it's cold out there.
We don't have any commercial operation like that in our area.
Oh, okay. So most people, you wouldn't do that even if you knew what you were
doing. You'll probably see that more in Florida and South Alabama and some of those, South Georgia and some of those places. But that'd be the type of thing you have to do in order to be successful in this area with peach crop.
Okay,
on a large scale. So that's why we don't have a lot of them here, or any here.
So if you didn't want to jump right in to be a master gardener right now, is there something lesser that you can get?
I think it's maybe going on now. They're getting ready to start. We do a basic gardening program.
Okay.
And basically that, for anyone to kind of get a basic knowledge of growing gardens, trees, landscaping, and all of that. But then we also have classes pretty much on a regular basis, just offer my educational program on turf. You may have a turf class, you may have a landscaping class. We offer those quite regularly as well. So those gardening classes are, and we probably looking at starting back again. We used to do a brown bag program. We probably going to look into doing that again, just offering program during our lunch hour. People can bring their lunch in and basically just have an hour program. And usually, I say an hour, it usually go longer. People want to stay and ask a lot of questions. So we could be looking at bringing that program back as well. So we offer a lot of different opportunities for people.
And so the brown bag program begins, early spring?
We're still working on it. We haven't got it all worked out yet. But we do offer a lot of those same education programs are at night. So we do, even after work. So we can probably do a combination, some after work and some at brown bag. So different. Everyone can't come to lunch, but they can come after work.
Okay.
And we may look at also, just thought maybe look at them doing some of them through a video, recording them, or either do them a Zoom-type educational program. So we'll be looking at some different options for people who want to. But so if someone have a topic, just send me an email. Make sure we get it in. We can offer those educational programs.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Anthony Tuggle is with us. He's the head of the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And he's here to let us know what's happening at the Ag Center. Lots of things happening. In fact, give us a few weeks and then it'll be just packed with people. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, MTE serves members with more than just electricity. Their community outreach team works with schools, parents, and students to provide engaging and unique learning experiences. MTE serving to make life better since 1936.
Hi, this is Dan at Music World and Drummer's Den. We have new things going on here for Christmas. We have gift cards available for any amount from a dollar up to whatever you want to spend on it. We have Christmas specials going on. Our prices are competitive. Sometimes we're even below the online prices. We have layaway plans available, and this is real popular at Christmas. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church, right across the street from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant. So many people buy so many different things. You know, I go out to eat and I like eating steak, where my wife will end up getting her salmon. Our salmon is cut fresh, so she loves her salmon. It's one of those places that you can go, you can get pastas or chicken. You know, the kids love it. Get what you want at Demas's Restaurant and not be limited just to one or two items. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
High temperatures reaching the lower 50s for this afternoon with mostly sunny skies. Winds a bit breezy from the west. Some patchy fog tonight, low of 26.
I'm meteorologist Michael Caron, News Radio WGNS. Right now, 34 degrees.
From lift kits to tires, Tire World has the experts and the knowledge to get it done.
This is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We are your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
Middle Tennessee football and basketball games are right here. This is Chip Walters on Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
MTSU Sports on WGNS.
Welcome back. Anthony Tuggle with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. I want to say happy birthday to Bobby Pierce. Bobby Pierce wins that delicious banana pudding today from Slick Pig Barbecue. Happy birthday, Bobby. Our good neighbor of the day is Evan Osborne, active member at First Baptist Church on East Main, always helping with mission trips. Very involved in volunteering, a hard worker, always greeting people with a smile. And he's our good neighbor of the day, Evan Osborne, receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gift. Wonderful folks over there at Ryan's. If you need some, you know, a pick-me-up, a perk-me-up to let somebody know that they are special to you, why don't you send them some flowers, or make it even better, combine some flowers and coffee and just say, hey, you are special. Jenny can do that for you. Get with Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. The best thing, I like to go by in person, 117 South Academy Street. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Anthony Tuggle is our guest this morning from the Agricultural Extension Service, and everybody is especially ready for gardening, for springtime. Anytime it's 20 and 30 degrees outside, we're ready to move that on.
We are.
And Anthony originally hails from Mississippi, so you're really ready to move that on to somewhere.
I thought I had got adjusted until the last few weeks. I really like, I like.
You're getting homesick on us.
Yeah. I like the warm.
Take me with you. I'm ready to go.
I'm a summer boy. I'm a heat. I like heat.
We have a question here from a listener who says, I'm ready to get back into gardening, and I never really got into it. I talked a lot about it last year, but I never got into it. But I live in a condominium, and several friends have raised bed gardens. I watched them. They looked like they had fun. They grew some things I didn't think that you could do in a raised bed because it's not very big. When do I need to start something like that? So here's a person who's watched it happen with neighbors. I don't know if they learned anything, but they're wanting to do it too. And that's really getting popular, isn't it?
It is. And like I said, we have four or five, six different types of raised beds at our office location. But a lot of time, I mean, there are, you can plant some things a little bit. You can actually do different crops and different ones. You can do some cool season things in some of them. Like you can even do for some cool season crop early. Not right now, but probably starting in mid to late February, early March time frame, some cool season crop. Like you can do some cabbages, some mustard, some lettuce, and things like that. In raised beds, turnips can be going, excuse me, mustard green, radishes. Can be grown in there as far as some cool season crop. But most people typically go with a warm season thing. They can go peppers, tomatoes, cucumbers, and things like that. I probably would stay away from anything that's going, unless you have some type of trellis or something that's, that have any type of vine thing. But pretty much anything else, you can pretty much grow, you know, even a few, couple of okra plants and things of that nature. So
you can
be a
do
part.
Different seasons. I mean, you plant one thing now and then change it later.
Yeah, once they kind of run it, especially once those leafy vegetables run their course and things, you can go ahead and transition some of those out to some of those warm season vegetables. Warm season vegetables are typically the most people garden, I would say. Mm-hmm. We don't do a lot. I would say we're getting less and less people growing some of those cool season crops, except for some of our producers who want to sell them at the market and things like that. But I say a majority of people are growing cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, things of that nature in their raised beds.
Now, what's the first thing they should be doing right now? Is anything they should, here we are, what is this, January 16th. Is this way too early to start, or should they go out and figure out what kind of a planter they're going to, what container?
That would be the idea, the location, a location where you can actually going to get sun for at least 7-8 hours a day, access to water, unless you're going to be, because raised beds, they think about gravity, is raised up off the ground, they have a tendency to dry out faster. So you actually need to kind of have a watering source, whether you're going to have some type of drip irrigation around them, or basically you're going to carry water hose and things of that nature. Well, if you had to carry a watering bucket container from a long ways. So location close to water where you get plenty of sun and things, that it would be the top ones. And then type of material, you can use brick. We got people using bricks. We got people using straw. We got people using landscape materials. And people can actually buy some, I can call them commercial one, but they can buy some kits to do raised beds. So there are a lot of different things you can do.
Do you have
that.
Pictures of those where if somebody comes by the Ag Center, you can show them, well, here's what one person did, here's another one?
We actually have a demonstration for most of them out.
Oh, you've got some action.
Yeah, we actually have the action, some of them out. We have most all of them. We have someone you can just stands up off the ground way high, probably 3 or 4 feet, that's, I would say, wheelchair accessible ones as well.
Cool. Yeah.
So we have a variety of demonstrations at the office they can kind of come out and look at. We can talk to them about them.
So you can, once you decide on what's best for you, what you would enjoy, you can leave it there year around, is that right?
You can. It may be on our website. I'm not 100% sure they're on our website or not. I'm trying to look it up to see, but we do have quite a bit of them. But if it's not on our website, we'll work on getting those up during the growing season. Right now, they just look.
So when would you actually start working on that? When would you want to put the soil in, and when would you want to start
It depends.
What do you do, till it?
For typically, most of them will be warm season. I'll probably look at late March and April for my warm season vegetables. But any time between that, they can start preparing and getting it ready for planting.
So 2 months
yeah.
from now?
You got a little time to work on it.
Okay. And that's what it takes, you know, a little time to think about what do I want to do, how big do I want it to be.
And how many planters do you want?
Yeah.
How many raised beds do you want?
Should you start out small or just jump in with both feet?
It depends on the size. You may can do two. I'll start up with two mm-hmm. of them, probably two or three.
Can you do tomatoes? I mean, tomatoes are so popular.
Yeah, you can do tomatoes. I mean, they are easily to use those tomato cages or some type of steak to stake those in. That's probably one of them. That's a real popular vegetable people actually put in those. And you can use those same tomato cages for cucumbers and things of that nature. I would probably stay away from, well, I know I would stay away from watermelon, cantaloupe, pumpkin, squash,
yeah,
things that are going to actually run a lot. But anything else, you probably could be able to make it work.
Here's another question texted in from a listener. They're really interested in doing this, and they said, I'm glad that we started talking about it today, but are critters going to be a problem, birds and rabbits and stuff like that? And if they are, what can you do about it? Don't come in here.
They can be a problem. They can be a problem, but you can always have some type of netting over them and around them. A little small fence, a little bit. I think we have one. I don't know if we got fencing. I know we have netting over one. Over one of them to kind of show how to use netting over them. We may have one as well that shows a little small fencing around them, but you can put some small netting and fencing around them to keep those obviously something like a deer want to get in, and they're going to easily push it over.
If you have a fence around, I mean, if you're in a condominium and there's a fenced-in backyard, you know, with a six-foot privacy fence,
you probably ain't going to have
deer
a lot of
probably, but you,
squirrels, man. They probably won't mess with it too much, but birds can come in and mess with your tomatoes. And yeah. If you're in an area that may have some of that, then you, they can be a problem.
But so you can netting, easily, you say?
Yeah, there are different kinds of netting and screenings you can kind of get to put over them and around them.
Is one better than another as far as them eating through the netting versus fencing? Do they both do just as well?
Well, in a condominium, you probably don't have some restrictions on what can you put out for fencing. So it's going to be like some, the fencing you'll be using will be like some temporary fencing or some temporary netting that you won't be able, you won't keep out for a long period of time. And they could get through it. Mm. But typically it's a deterrent. They get a little deterrent, they kind of move on to something else. But raised bed typically won't have a lot of problem with rabbits because it's depending on how it is, it's raised up a little bit.
Hadn't thought about that. So that's in itself a good distraction.
Yeah, but deers and birds can be something totally different. Yeah.
So
squirrels, obviously.
Should it be to avoid rabbits?
I'm thinking of a foot or so. I mean, they can probably jump in, but it's a deterrent. Mm-hmm. But usually, like a bale of straw, someone made out of bale of straw or bricks, they're blocked, so they're up a couple of feet, maybe a foot or two, so they'll be deterred.
And so be thinking about what you want to grow, be thinking of how you want it to look. Go by the Ag Center and let them show you what is available out there.
Yeah, they can go out there and look, even if we're not there. Mm-hmm. If they're working on something, they're out back, by our outdoor classroom, they can look at the different ones out there as well.
So it's behind the classrooms?
They're on beside the outdoor classroom by our
That's where the farmer's market is, isn't it?
It's before you get, it's right across the street, right across the way from our livestock pavilion.
Okay.
So it's right there by the outdoor classroom.
Okay.
They'll see some picnic table with some solar.
Right beside the pond.
Yes, sir.
Okay. By the pond. Okay. Some interesting things over there. And you can also, while you're over there, if I'm memory serves correct, that's where you have the butterfly gardens and things of that sort. What do they look like at this time of the year? Because if you have a butterfly garden, you might as well know what it's going to look like all the time.
Pretty much all of them are pretty dormant.
So what?
Discolored foliage, some dormant dead. I wouldn't say dead foliage because they're dormant. Mm-hmm. So they'll look kind of dead, but they'll be in a dormant state. Discolored leaves and things of that nature on them. But so pretty soon, our master gardeners will go in and start cleaning those up as they get ready to come out of their dormancy. But they are just most of them are not evergreen. There are a few evergreens out there. But most of them going to be kind of a off-color, discolored, dormant state plants.
So you actually have to weed them out or clean them out or
yeah, you go in and remove, I'm going to say, all the dead debris, mm-hmm. or the old debris that have declined or went to a dormant state. You're going to clean all that out and be so the new growth can come back on it.
Now, is that sort of similar to what you would do if you have a raised bed garden? Would you leave that growth in there for the end of the season and then come back at the beginning of the next season and clean it out? Or
I'll probably at the end of the season go ahead and clean that out. Just get all that debris and stuff out of there. And what happens is typically in a raised bed garden, as it decomposes, soil is going to decompose, go into a decomposed state. So the next garden season, you're going to have to add some more soil or compost or something to it because it's going to decrease as it decomposes over the season.
So if you've been creating some decomposing material, you want to sort of spoon that in or shovel it in?
You can put it in. It'll continue to decompose there. It won't decompose as fast in the wintertime because it don't have the heat and all the good stuff to help make it decompose as fast. But it'll decompose more during the summer. So I would probably have I would just remove it from a raised bed site.
Okay. Just take the soil out and...
Not the soil, just the plants. Just the old plants. Yeah, the soil stay there because you just can add to it.
Okay. So these are things you need to be thinking about. And if you're really starting from fresh, you want to check out the types of raised bed gardens that you can have and what looks the best for you. If you're using a wheelchair to do your gardening from, there's some that'll fit you better. If you want to just sort of bring a chair or a stool up beside the garden, there's some that'll fit that better. And, of course, it all depends on your yard. Are you in the yard? Are you on the patio? Where are you? So, and those are things you need to, this is the time to be thinking about that.
It is.
And so,
if all else fails, the farmer's market will open second Friday in May. They can come by, let somebody else do the work, and you can enjoy your fresh fruit and vegetables by participating in the market.
Okay. Tell you what, let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. We will continue the conversation. Anthony Tuggle with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. A lot happening over there. And if you have questions, we're here to answer them.
If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, call me weekday mornings at 7:50 for Swap and Shop.
WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at your Rutherford Farmers Co-op. If you're looking for that unique Christmas gift, please come see us. We have everything you need for your holiday season. We have the clothing that will keep you warm from our Carhartt to your feet with our muck boots. We also have a great selection of fashion clothing for our ladies. And if you're looking for a unique gift, say for your patio, we also have our wonderful handmade wooden furniture. That's all here at the Co-op Farm and Home Center just off of South Church.
Good morning. TDOT's behind a vehicle over here with some flashing lights. Got traffic a little bit slow on 40 westbound at Stewart's Ferry Pike coming through this section of Hermitage. It's busy through here because you got all that traffic behind it that's arriving here in the Hermitage from Wilson County. Still a little bit sluggish at times. 65 south in Millersville as you work your way down towards Long Hollow Pike coming down from the north out of Robertson County through that section of Sumner County. Hey, whether you need a new roof, roof repair, roof inspection, call independent roofing specialists. Check out irsroofs.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
High temperatures reaching the lower 50s for this afternoon with mostly sunny skies. Winds a bit breezy from the west. Some patchy fog tonight, low of 26.
I'm meteorologist Michael Caron, News Radio WGNS. Right now, 34 degrees.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
I like that, low 50s. I'm ready for low 50s. Anthony Tuggle, I don't think you'll argue on that one.
Not at all.
36 right about now outside. Going to be in the low 50s today. That's nice.
That sounds real nice.
Yeah, it does. 615-893-1450. Anthony Tuggle with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And again, what are the hours at the Ag Center for people who want to come over and take a look at these things, take a look at the grasses? And
Well, to look at, just look at it, they can come over anytime. But they can, because it's out there, and we're actually in the process of developing some QR codes where people can actually scan those codes and get all the information on those demonstrations. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process of getting that done. So just give us a little time. So hopefully by for the end of this summer, we'll have all those QR codes out. But they want to visit with us and talk about those demonstrations. Our office is open from 7 to 4:30, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
So they can come by and visit with us, send us an email. You can go by and look at it after outside of those times. You have a question, feel free to email any of us about it. If it's horticulture related, you can email Justin, Mitchell, or myself. If it's about some of the forest demonstration, the fencing demonstration, they can email Rebecca. So, or either all any of us, we can try to we'll pass it on to the other one so we can assist.
Here's a question about soil samples. This person said, I know I need to do it. I just never have done it, but I've heard you talk about it before. Is it too soon to do it now?
As long as the ground is not frozen, you can go ahead and do it. I would say if the ground not frozen, it probably be pretty easy to get in there to do it. What you want to do is randomly go through your yard or landscape down about anywhere from 4 to 6 inches and just take a little soil from the more location you take from, the better your sample will be. I tell homeowners all the time, you can actually do a representative sample of your whole entire yard. Just go through your zigzag through your entire yard and take soil from 20 or 30 different locations, whether it's in your yard, it's in your front yard, backyard, landscape beds or whatever. Just mix all up together. You can do a representative sample of that for $20 because you can get up to 3 samples. You can do lawn. You may want to do a lawn. You may want to do a perennial bed or a garden. You can do all three of those for the same $20 if you've taken soil from all those different areas.
And so most, what do you just tell them? I want to make a garden plus I want a grass to grow?
Yes, they'll give you an individual recommendation. But most people have a tendency wanting to do one for the front yard, backyard, for their garden site and things, which is fine as well. But you want to still take a random sample of whichever location you want to do. But you can do all of them in one soil sample unless you really have. I tell people all the time, unless you're growing a high-dollar crop like some blueberries or strawberries or something like that, I would probably do one sample of all of them and incorporate all of them into one sample and get all three recommendations.
Now, would they tell you from whatever type of soil you have, would they tell you the type of grass that you would probably have the most luck with? Or does that make a difference?
It won't make a difference, but what it does, our soil test recommendation would tell you if you're growing tall fescue or Bermuda, based on your soil test recommendation, how to get the most out of that. Whether you're going to, tell you what your pH is. And basically they would tell us how to optimize whichever one of those plant species you want to grow by how much to put down of fertilizer, sulfur, lime, or whatever the case may be. So it tell you how to optimize whichever crop you're actually trying to grow. And I'm saying turf grass and vegetables as a crop as well. So
here's another question from a listener who's texted us this question. They said that I've got a feeling that when my contractor built my house, he was more interested in making my lawn level as opposed to leaving dirt, real dirt, in the yard. I think we're down to the clay. And will a soil sample tell me if it's all clay? Do I need to add soil? Would it be wise to bring in a dump truck of real dirt and put it on top of this clay?
Wow. We have a lot of clay in our area, so most of our soils are clay. We were actually having this conversation maybe a week or so ago.
So it comes up a lot. Then.
Well, that part, but Tennessee do not have a legal definition of topsoil.
Mm-hmm.
So a person can sell you pretty much anything and call it topsoil in Tennessee because there's no legal definition of what topsoil is. So if you buy something, somebody say, I'm selling you topsoil in Tennessee, really don't have a legal definition of what that is and what they can sell you.
So you may be buying more of what you already have.
Correct. But to answer her first question, no, the soil test won't tell you if it's clay or not. But you can bring something to the office. We can pretty much tell you, give you a pretty good, tell you pretty much what it is, whether it's clay, silt, sand, all those things they learned back in eighth grade science. But we can pretty much tell you a lot of that. But most of our soils are clay. We can improve on those soils by adding compost, by adding different type things to it, soil conditioners and things of that nature. And so we can actually improve those. And also sulfur, most likely probably going to be sulfur or something, bring the pH down or things of that nature. So we can improve those soil without bringing a whole lot of other topsoil in. But like I said, if you can find some good topsoil, then you may need it. I wouldn't just basically say put it on top because you'll create layers, and that's not good. You have like good topsoil, then you have a layer of, and once the plant kind of go through that topsoil, you get to that hard clay, then it would kind of die off a little bit and be stunted. So I would kind of work that in. So there, I wouldn't just bring it in, depending on how much you want to do, but I would just bring it and put it on top of it.
Okay, so there is a way to help. Okay, and in reality, I guess a lot of the farms that people have homes on now, as we say, they were farms at one time, so they were growing things on them, but the soil has been moved to make the land flat.
I think of farmland, mostly I think a lot of it was already fertile, mm-hmm. fertile land, right. And I don't think they probably moved a lot. I don't know, they do, I can't really say, I can't see them moving all of it, but then again, I can see them moving all of it to build a house or a subdivision, things of that nature. It's just kind of hard to tell. So, you probably can kind of look and get a gauge of it. Or they can go by and saw our conservation office. They are right next door to us, and that's all they work with is soils. So they may have a soil map. They can look at a soil map and pretty much tell you what was there and how it had changed. So you can get to go visit them. So there are some resources we have that can look at some of those things.
Now, maybe the answer is sod. I'm serious. We went for years trying to grow grass. Did not have luck. I mean, we just really, we tried seeding. We tried everything that people had suggested. And until we put down sod, we did not have a good yard. Put that sod down, it was instant yard. And I thought, I wish we had done this before. It may be expensive, but I think we would have saved money over the years.
I agree with you. It is expensive, and it is an instant turf. But I also would prepare the underneath soil before, make sure it has the proper nutrients to really, because you all put in a big investment, we'll make sure that, I'm going to say, surface that's already there is prepared. Because if not, you can't have, it'd be just like putting it on concrete. It's not going to grow and permanent. So you will.
And there are some sod farms here in Rutherford County.
We do have some, yes.
Yeah. So you know it's going to fit the soil.
Yeah, prepare that soil first, though, still.
We got about a minute left in our broadcast. I don't want to leave anything out. Are there any things people need to know about right now that are coming up that they just need to head over to the Ag Center?
Man, we kicking off a lot of programs now. They can sign up for our newsletter on our website, and you'll get an email every once a month to tell you what's coming up, when it's coming up, and the time. So I would sign up for the newsletter. That way you won't have to visit our website regularly. You just come directly to your email. So that would be the easiest and best way to know exactly what's going on all the time.
Sounds like a winner. Anthony Tuggle, our guest this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Anthony, we do thank you for joining us.
I enjoyed it, Bar. Good to see you.
It has been fun. Yes. You take care of yourself. And if you're heading back to Mississippi, call me.
You want to ride?
I may need a ride there. Have a good one.
You too, sir.